And welcome, and it is a Saturday morning, and this is Margaret Gray, along with Phil Hendry, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and General Galen Shaw. And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you very much, Margaret, and it is, for the first time in a long time, we got some guys with us here. We got you guys with us here.
Yeah, I've been up for a Saturday a long time.
Yeah, well, I figured, you know, I owe you one.
Thank you. Good to see you, Robert.
Yeah, Bob, good to see you. I'm sitting around thinking about talking about, Ms. Gray wants to talk about an abomination abortion.
Yes, I do want to get into that, Robert. The show was yesterday. All right, so.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Well, I'm sorry, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, I think some explaining needs to be done when it comes to the this guy, Unger, what was his name?
Yeah, his name was Unger Dozier. Unger Dozier.
Yes, Unger Dozier, and also Frank is standing by to talk a little bit about Gene Gibel, or as he calls him, Jim Jeeble.
I heard that Jim is it Jim?
I'm sorry, I say Jim, I mean Gene Jeep. No, I think it is Jim.
Yeah, Mr. Gray said it was a Jim Jeeble.
Yes, Jim Jeeble.
Jim Jeeble, who is Gene Gibel.
Yeah, that's the name. Apparently Gray knew this guy back in the day. And the, what do you want to call it, managed him, right?
Yeah, Frank was the manager of a man by the name of Jim Jeeble. It turned out to be Gene...
Well, come on, it's Gene Jeeble.
You guys with these names.
Hey, what are you talking about, you guys with these names? You're the guy that brought the guy on here.
Phil, I didn't bring this man on the show.
I know that, but why can't we get a name right around here? Gene Jeeble is the name of the disc jockey. Jim Jeeble is the guy that your husband managed. Am I right about that?
Yes, you're right about that.
All right. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get him on here in just a moment. But first, I want to bring on our good, close, personal friend for a little Saturday report. You know, the traffic on weekends is not generally too bad, I don't think. But let's just see if we can dig up. Is he there?
Yeah, stand by there, Bob Bakian. Yeah. Yeah, stand by Bob Bakian. Okay, go.
Well, where is he?
Oh, sorry, Bob. Just stand by Bob Bakian.
I don't know if am I on?
Go ahead, Bob, yeah.
All right, we're up there at the 30-odd freeway here on the Loopland. And over at the Loopland, we're going to be taking a look at some other cars that are going to be traveling southbound of the Sci-Fi. And if you're on the High-Five of the Sci-Fi, or if you're on the Sci-Fi or in the Sci-Fi vicinity of the Sci-Fi, you're going to make sure that you take that traffic and go out there and have everything that you've got packed up in a picnic basket, probably, because we're going to get taken by Caltrans. And they'll be taking their time down there, dropping up, keel hauling a man or drawing a man across the equator as they throw him into the water. Okay, this is Bob Bakian traffic.
What the hell is this another one of these bitches?
This is a band called Lamb of God, and this is a song called Still Echoes, I believe, right, Phil?
Yes, it is, yes.
See, I can announce this stuff. It's fine with me. There's a lot of people that are commenting, though, about all the music choices.
Yeah, well, it's okay, and you know, we get the comments.
Well, Mr. Aaron, don't get all defensive and everything.
You do tend to get defensive.
Oh, do I?
Well, you do, Phil. You know, the people comment, they'll say, you know, Mr. Henry, what's this, you know, this grab ass? What are you playing grab ass? And you know.
What do you mean grab ass?
Well, talk about how grab ass the music is. Yeah, the music very grab ass-ish, I guess.
I don't know if it's grab ass or just crap.
Oh, well, I understand crap.
Well, you sure do, because you play a lot of it. You know,
let me just tell you something. In my life, okay?
Now, is this going to take long?
Yeah, this may take the entire show, so.
All right, Phil, God damn.
What
Bud got up your ass? No, I'm sure, man, Bud got up his ass. You know what I'm trying? I meant Bud.
All right, what Bud got up? Nothing. I'm just trying to tell you, if I may be so bold as to just take a few minutes to explain, music for me is a constant in my life. I love music, but I cannot listen to the same thing over and over again. I got to listen to things that are different. And I realized over the last 20 years of my life, when I left music radio and I was in talk radio, I completely just, I lost an entire generation of music. I didn't listen to music anymore. And so I really wanted to hear what is contemporary. And for me, the most contemporary thing that's happening right now is both hip-hop and metal. People can talk all they want about indie bands. I'm not interested in them. I shouldn't have said what I said on Twitter.
You didn't say it on Twitter. You said it in the comment section.
Yeah, you said it was all shit.
Well, all right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean to say that all indie bands are shit, but it's just that they're promoted ad nauseum. I don't think that there's... People talk about hip-hop being so commercial. In the so-called indie music is anything but. And you know, this is how I feel. But I'm not trying to get anybody to. I don't have a 3-hour music show. I mean, this is stuff that we use as bumper music. So if people are, you know, upset with that.
Well, I don't think they're upset with it so much as they. It's jarring to the nerves. You know, there's a lot of people such as myself. It's not. This is not a. Hey, you know, what talk about? What do you want?
Bit jarring. Very jarring and very searing to the nerves. You know, I hear the music and it all of a sudden just, it explodes on you, you know?
Yeah, like the one you just played.
All right, the one that's called Still Echoes.
Yeah, still play that again. And, you know, hold on. Now, don't play it so loud that it scares the but play, Robert, do you want to play that?
Oh, the Bud's got the control.
All right, now, Bud, be careful, okay?
All right, here he comes.
God damn. Ah, shit.
Well, we don't want a repeat of what happened yesterday morning to you.
No.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay, but fucking. See that stuff? I turn it down. Yesterday, Margaret, it was you and that whole putting your leg up on the.
You know, I good-naturedly went along with that because I thought you people were kidding about me putting my leg up on the table and pretending like I'm hunching butt.
Yep.
So everybody's getting their jollies in, everyone's getting their cookies, and everyone's having a couple of laughs.
Well, I wouldn't put...
Yes, I'm sure.
Well, everyone's getting their laughs in, so has everybody got the laughs in? Everybody get their one-liners in so we can do the show? Because I know we have Frank Gray is going to join us here. By the way, this is our Customer Appreciation Month, the month of May. We cannot emphasize that enough. And that means that you, and only you, if you are a BSP member... You get to be in the drawing for a swag bag once a week worth almost $600. $600.
That reminds me of that time you hit the track, you heard the guy $880 daily double.
You know what? That's right.
What is this?
You know, I was just talking about that with the guys at the poker game a couple of weeks ago. Everybody to a man, remember the day we were at the track, and we heard this guy say, as we walked to the ticket window to either cash or to buy tickets, most likely buy... most likely tearing up tickets as we were going there. And we heard the guy say, because it had just been posted, it had been an $880 daily double.
Now, that back into what year are we talking about?
Back when $880 was a big daily double. But the guy whipped it out of there, just said,
$880 daily double. Man, I can't believe $880 daily double.
Just like that, huh?
So, in other words, you were marveling at how crisp and how quick it was.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was. In fact, it was something that I... Probably, had I appreciated it more at that point in my life, I would have realized that that would be the last time I'd ever hear anybody really articulate that well, because working on this show, forget it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know something, Henry?
Yeah, that is dirty pool.
No, I mean, go ahead, say it.
Say what?
$880. You guys will turn that into 850. You guys will turn that into Canadian money. You'll turn it into, it won't be horse racing, it'll be steeplechase. And,
What are you trying to say, anyway?
No, I understand what Mr. Henry's saying. He's saying we turn all into shit, you know?
Well, he didn't use that word. Well,
yes, I am. I'm using that word. All right, so...
All right, let me try. $880 day dub.
You carved it up.
All right, you, bud.
$880 day dub.
What?
Man, you didn't even say it. Yeah, I did. Listen, 800... You did? Okay, pretend like you're walking by me.
Look, what are we going to do, a Broadway production here?
Wait a minute. Pretend like you're walking by me, Mr. Henry.
Me, okay.
Now, well, you don't really have to walk, just pretend.
I'm pretending.
Okay, now you're walking by, and I'm standing there, and I'm just a guy you don't know.
Uh-huh.
And you're tearing up your tickets. It's a beautiful day, and perhaps... Will you come on? Oh, sorry. And so I go, $880 day dub. No, man, they did butcher that up.
I think you did, bud.
All right, how about you, Margaret?
All right, so you're walking by... Where are you?
I'm at Santa Anita Racetrack.
All right. $880 daily double.
Jesus H. Christ, if any guy sounded like that at Santa Anita, they would have picked him up and thrown him on the track right as they were heading into the land of the downstretch, you know?
Yeah, into the land of the downstretch.
What's so funny?
You mean as they were heading into the home stretch?
Yeah, they're right there. That's what I meant.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to say?
We're saying, Margaret, that... Go ahead, try it again.
Oh, what are you saying?
I'm saying that that was very feminine, and of course I'm listening to a guy.
Well, Phil, I can't help that here. $880 daily double.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Ms. Gray.
That's fine. All right.
Oh, so in other words, Reed, it blew a hole. Let's say it blew the French Foreign Legion.
Yes. All right, folks, we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, including Frank Gray is going to join us and talk to us about The guy he used to know as Gene Jebel, in point of fact, is not Gene Jebel, but Gene Jebel. And we're going to see just exactly what went wrong with that interview and find out, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that there was something wrong with that.
Well, absolutely. First of all, you didn't have the name right. And secondly, there's a whole host of things, Phil.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the BSP only Saturday show, world famous, whatever the hell it's called, the Phil Hendry's world famous. And this is General Galen Shaw at your service, reminding you that our souvenir shop is wide open. And when I say wide open, I think you know what I mean. Go on in there and get yourself a souvenir, or don't, I don't care, but quit belly aching about it.
Goddamn, bud. What? Well, that freaking coffee grounds, Jack.
Well, you're the one that taught him how to make coffee.
I understand, but Jesus, there's like, not just coffee grounds, there's whole coffee beans.
I used a grinder.
You gotta know how to grind that shit up, if you'll excuse my French. All right. Coming on the line with us is Frank Gray. Frank has been a longtime manager. He's gonna kind of clear up what was going on with Gene Jebel yesterday. Margaret has come in here and basically said that the show was an abortion on toast.
I didn't use that term at all.
Well, I mean, you essentially are saying that it was a...
You might as well have said abortion on toast, the way you described it and everything.
I did not say anything of the sort. What I'm saying is, the show was... Well, yes, it was an abortion on toast. It sucked an ape. What do you want me to say?
All right, well, let's get Frank Gray here, who is out on the, I think, the first tee there at Anaheim Hills. Frank, how are you doing?
Better than country, young man. Are you
fine?
Hold on.
Now, are you? We got you in the middle of a golf game.
It doesn't matter. I got Shaky Brown is here. Snaky Stevens, Curly Welsh, and is Jerry gonna? Is he playing with us or not?
Yeah, in a minute.
All right, Jerry's gonna come. We're teeing off. So,
darling, are you gonna be back for lunch?
Yes, I'll be back for lunch. God Almighty, lunch. Everybody wants lunch. So, what can I do for you?
Well, we found out from Margaret that you are the former manager of the guy we know as Gene Jebel.
All right, let me tell you all about her. She came to me and wanted an attorney. I wasn't a manager.
No, Frank was the attorney. I'm sorry.
Oh, the attorney.
Yeah, I represented her in contract negotiations, and nice shot. Oh, God, you shanked the hell out of that. You shanked that right into that guy. Yeah! Boy, you better go and see if she's okay.
Would you rather pay attention to the golf game?
No, I'm here for you, okay? I'm waiting for the rest of these numbnuts to tee off. Hey, Curly, if you can hit it straight, I'll tell you what, if you can hit this ball straight, if you can just get it out of the tee box and it goes straight, I got a nice, crisp $20 bill for you.
Oh, yeah.
I swear to God. So I met Gene Jebel. I knew her as Jim Jebel. She was married to, actually, she was married to another client of ours, Doris Hattenbuehr, and he was a dancer. And Gene was a disc jockey, so she marries him, and she's obviously the main support because dancers don't really do all that well, especially back in those days. This was in the 70s. And they didn't do nightclub dancing anymore.
Not the way they did back in the 50s, right?
Yeah, you know, the way they'd get a dancer, a beautiful, beautiful young lady, and he'd get out there and twirl about the tables, and you would eat your steak. Excuse me, I'm just coughing it up. I saw Curly shot. God damn, Curly. Well, why can't you hit it out of the tee box? If you can get it out of the ladies' tee, Curly just hit the ball, Phil, and she hit it down into the ladies' tee. That's as far as it went.
Boy, you guys aren't very good.
Hey, watch that you guys, okay? Frank Gray, I haven't teed off yet. So, as I was saying, Jim Jebel comes to me and she says, I need an attorney to represent me in forthcoming contract negotiations. And I said to her, well, really, when's that going to be? How about never? And she says, ha, 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 and I'd like you to meet my wife. This is Doris. And I said, how do you do, ma'am? And he was very pretty and very deferential. And he sat down and crossed his legs and asked for a cigarette. You know, this is back in the days you could smoke in the office.
Yes. We know, Frank. We know how taken you were with Doris.
I wasn't taken with him. I was just trying to be polite to the guy. To the husband, that is. So anyway, all right, wait, I got a hit. All right, here we go. Watch this one, okay? Everybody just watch and learn. Frank Gray at your service. Yeah. Shit. right into a daycare center.
Frank, where are you playing?
I'm playing at a new course here in Anaheim. I hooked it right in the daycare. See that? Curly, did you see that?
Yeah, it looked like a pretty bad cut.
I hooked it bad. It was a wicked... Oh, Christ. Is that a daycare center over there or what?
Like an old folks home at the mental institution.
There's a mental institution and a daycare center over there, and I just hooked a wicked wood right square into it. Did you hear anything?
You've got to go and see if everybody's okay.
Oh, hell, I'm not going to do that, no. What do I look like? Guy on a radio, he wants to know it.
Okay, Frank, we got to get going here. So you are managing Jim Jeeble.
Right, right. So I'm managing Jim Jeeble. And she says, I'd like to try to be a country disc jockey. And I said, that's real thrilling. I said, I'm used to managing multi-million dollar careers. And you want a job working at the Hayseed? I said, fine. So I worked out a deal with a local station in, I forget, where was that, Margaret? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know, darling. You never told me about this.
Oh, I think it was Columbia, South Carolina, something like that. But I worked out a pretty good deal, and that was when Jim said to me, I think I need to change my name. And I said, yeah. I said, you not only need to change your name, you need to change your face. I said, you know, and I was only half kidding. And Doris says to me, don't talk to her that way. You know, she's my husband, and I respect her. And she's the breadwinner. And I said, okay, Doris, whatever you say. And he sat down, and I just, you know, forgot about it. But what happened? Well, hold on. I got to hit again. Are you guys going to penalize me on that?
Okay.
Is that out of bounds?
If you hit it into a daycare center...
Excuse me, Phil. I'm not talking to you. Are you playing with us?
No, I'm not.
Okay, then just... Is that out of bounds, huh?
Yeah. All good.
All right, I just want to know, Curly. Shit, don't give me a hole. All right, here we go. Watch this. Watch and learn. Watch and learn from Gray. Fuck.
Yeah, hey. Ha ha.
Ah, goddammit, hit the sand. Still outdrove all of you numbnut. I hit a nice wood, Phil. I hit a good drive, but I went right into a pot bunker. Fuck me and the horse I rode in on.
Frank, we are on the air.
I understand that, Margaret, but Phil says it's digital and doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, but... All right, so Jim Jeeble became Gene Jebel.
Did I say that? I haven't gotten to that part yet, so... Can I ride with you? I gotta walk. No, we're gonna walk the course.
Frank, I think it's better, darling, if you walk.
Yeah, I get it. So, beautiful day here, though. How you doing? Yeah. So, hey, Curly... Hey, Curly, I got another $20 bill if you can get it as far as that pot bunker I hit mine into. What a wink at. All right, Curly's going to try to hit it out of the ladies' tee box here. Hold on. Nice. God, you got all of that. Holy Christ, she got all of that. You seeing that?
Oh, my God.
Pin high? Bullshit.
Pin high?
Bullshit. And I'm laying what? I got penalized, so I was laying two. I'm laying three in that pot bunker, and he's laying three on that. Oh, you gotta be pulling my leg.
Nice shot, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Thompson, we gotta get going.
All right, so Frank, we gotta get going here.
All right. So anyway, so you're right. I said to Gene, I said, look, you need to change your name. Yeah, I said, you need to change your name. The name was Jim Jeeble. I said, because I got a feeling somewhere along the line in show business, gerbils are going to be important, and I don't know why the name Richard Gere came to me in a dream last night.
This is absolutely true. Frank was worried that the name Jeeble would turn into gerbil, and there would be some sort of a proto-sexual deviant myth around that kind of thing, and he didn't want Gene Jebel to run afoul of it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you, honey. So, hold on, I got this pot bunker I got to deal with. I can't believe you, Curly. You hit that thing pin high.
Woo!
Oh, shut up.
All right, we're talking here with Frank Gray. We'll take another break, okay, Frank?
Yeah, it'll give me a chance to hit out of this pot bunker. Hey, tell you what, Lenny, give me the six iron. I don't give a shit. I'm going to wail it.
All right, Frank Gray is out. He's at some new course. Do you know what course this is?
Talk to Frank. He said it was Anaheim Hills. That ain't Anaheim Hills. That Anaheim Hills is some little cheese dick. Excuse my French.
Everybody with the language.
That was it's a brand now, like Cheviot Hills, something like that.
Oh, Cheviot Hills. That's where he is?
Yeah, maybe he is, but I don't know.
All right, Frank Gray is out. He's golfing this morning. He's telling us the story of Gene Jebel. This is Phil Henry. She's Margaret Gray. He's Bud Dickman. He's Robert Leonard. He's General Galen Shaw. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Woo!
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on our BSP-only Saturday show, General Galen Shaw reporting. And a reminder, of course, that with a backstage pass, you become eligible for all the goodies here at our Customer Appreciation Month. Get either an all-access pass or the audio-only pass. But whatever you do, wherever you go, whoever you see, whoever you talk to, make sure you have your BSP on you at all times. It does not serve as official identification, but let's just put it this way. I don't think anyone is going to give you any trouble once they see that on you.
Yes, the backstage pass. Make sure you have that one in your slacks or in your wallet.
All right, Frank Gray with us from Cheviot Hills as we talk with Frank about the Gene Jabelka. So this all started, Frank, as you may or may not know, today Margaret saying the show was an abortion yesterday.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Hold on. Where is it? Bullshit. Oh, God damn it. I shanked it again. I think I shanked it right on into that other fairway. I got to go give me the cart. So what happened was I listened to a little bit of the show, Phil, and it was a real piece of shit. Excuse my French.
Everybody with the language this morning, can we watch it?
I'm sorry. I mean, Margaret T., he was telling me it was okay.
I didn't, Frank, know that it was all okay.
All right. Is that my ball? I got a Titleist, too. Is that my ball? Thank you. I'm sorry. Well, I got to hit over. I don't care if you're in a tee box. I got to hit over to this green. Well, then just back away, okay? I've been a member here for a lot of years.
That's bullshit what I just told the guy.
All right, here we go. Yeah!
Woo! Good one, Frank.
Yeah, pin high. That's nice. Great. I only lay six. Fuck it.
Is that the first hole?
Yes.
And Curly is laying three, huh?
Yeah, Curly's laying three. Curly stands to par. In fact, Curly just did par. Did you just do a hit out?
Well, I'm about to do it.
How about waiting for everybody to get on the green?
Okay, Frank, do you mind?
All right, sorry. So anyway, I said to Gene, change the name to... I said to Jim, change the name from Jim Jeeble, because I don't want it to become Jim Gerbil. And you're now Gene Jabelle, and we'll get you on the country station. And she said, okay. And I asked Doris, her wife, and he said, fine with me. Doris finally gave up the dancing, because I said to Doris, I go, dancing in a nightclub, no one gives a hot, holy, sweet, beloved baby in a bassinet, you know, something like that. And he looked at me confused, and I don't blame him, because it took me about that long to get it out.
Okay, so Gene Jabelle, let me ask you this. Gene yesterday told us that he's written an autobiography. I was shot 63 times.
Hold on, I got to put out. I'm laying six. Missed a three-footer. That's eight. I took an 8-30.
I parred.
Yeah, I know you parred. All right, the other guys? Okay. So anyway, what happened, Bill, was that Gene was shot some 63 times by his count by sleeping with the wives of truck drivers when he went into town and did these different gigs, you know, and a lot of these truckers would come in with their guns and stand there and point them right at her and say, you're in bed with my wife, and she'd say, yes, I am, I'll be perfectly honest, but he told me that you weren't getting it done, and she, the husband, would say, well, you're a dead man, and Gene was very quick, and Gene would dive or leap or do something, some move would be made by Gene so that she would spin away or dance away, dive away or leap away from a bullet or a hail of bullets, in some instances, buckshot or birdshot, your choice. And
okay, Frank, well, I think we get the idea.
So you're getting the general idea.
Yeah, and surviving a shotgun blast to the face.
Well, that was the day, yeah, I went to the hospital and I saw... Okay, hold on for a minute, we got to tell you, how many yards is this piece of shit? It's a three par, okay. Watch me birdie this. You guys, hey, Curly, screw you. Shut up, Curly. Hold on, Phil, I'm going to hit here. How many yards? All right. It's about 100. No, this is about a three. This is about 280 yards. Watch this. Motherfucker, I flew the green.
Frank, the language.
Margaret, goddammit, hold on. I flew the fucking green. What's on the other side of that, Curly?
Water,
that's what I thought. Thank you. All right, so anyway...
So the shot to the shotgun blast to the face?
Right, the shotgun blast to the face. And what happened there was... was that I went to the hospital and I looked at Gene's face and I said, wow. And that's all I said. You know what? They do have face transplant, Gene. And he said, no, I got a doctor who's going to work. I said, you need to have the whole face, a new one shipped in. And he said, what, you know a place where they have faces? And I said, anywhere that, well, I shouldn't say that, Margaret, I said this. I said, anywhere that my wife sits. And I was kidding.
You filth. You know something, Frank? I'm going to talk to you about that when you get home.
I was kidding about it, okay? I was kidding about it.
Well, it's not funny, especially being told on the air like this.
I'm sorry, but anyway, the doctor saved the face. Gene's as good-looking as he she or he, I forget now whether he's straight or he's, no, she's straight. As good-looking as she's ever been, and something about golf helps me work out the gender thing.
Yeah, I've been noticing that.
All right, who's up? Well, let's go, Jed. I don't know what to do. I'll hit the goddamn ball. Nice one. Fucking shank this thing. How many yards did that go? About 50? Good job. Yay.
Well, you hear me talk about people.
Why?
Curly's kicking your ass.
Curly ain't kicking my ass. It's one hole. Go ahead, Curly.
Ha, 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 ha.
God damn it. He's pin high. I think you're within like 10 feet. Nice shot. I hate your living gut.
Okay, Frank, we're going to let you go then, okay?
Why?
Because we can't talk to you while you're playing golf.
I'm sorry. I will just say this. Gene Jabel, with a little bit of nerve damage to the face, he's going to be much, much better, and I think he's going to be much... He's going to heal, and he's going to heal well, and I think mentally he's going to be fine. But I don't care anything about him or her it any longer.
Frank, I think you should play more golf, if for no other reason than it does straighten out that gender confusion a little bit.
Yeah, I notice as well as I'm thinking about Curly and how he, she, it... is putting a skewer to my rear area, and it doesn't feel too good. Now, I will also say this. I think he had it sitting in a fire for about a half hour. I'm pissed off.
Well, good luck with the rest of the game.
Yeah, okay. Should have heard this guy. Most infamous here.
Jesus, man.
Well, I'll tell you something, Mr. Henry. Those guys are not very polite to you.
Yeah, you know, I like Frank Gray, but boy, he was very rude there.
Phil, I want to apologize. Frank gets very, very out of sorts when he plays golf.
Well, there's no question. It's a game that takes a lot of concentration. Why he ever agreed to be on the show and talk to us about this is beyond my wildest imaginings. You know, I figured that he would just, you know, simply want to play golf. And not come on the air. So I do appreciate it, Frank, but the next time you agree to come on the show, I would hope that you're not playing golf while you are doing it. Okay, what else we got going on here? I was talking a little bit here before the show about internet anonymity, and we're going to bring on the line here in a moment Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who has a very, very strong opinion about internet anonymity that goes completely against my own. So we may have an interesting little debate here. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It is, folks, our BSP only, our BSP show. And that means that if you're a BSP, you're hearing this. If you're not, then you ain't, you know.
Yes, the world-famous Phil Henry BSP only Saturday show.
Woo! And Frank Gray out there. Frank, if you're listening, good luck with your golf game. What did he take on the first hole?
He took an 8, and it went that guy Curly Brown. Curly saved a par, and Frank went out of a he stinks.
I love guys that'll tell you they're gonna school your ass, and they go out and carve it a new one. So,
Bud Dickman here for the Phil Henry Show website, also the Bud Dickman YouTube channel. Yeah, if you go to the Bud Dickman YouTube, that's the one I really want to talk about, the Bud Dickman YouTube channel. You can see the YouTube videos that are of
you?
No, Phil Henry, but it's just called Bud Dickman.
But it's also linked.
Yeah, it's linked at the Phil Henry Show website, so it's under Free Stuff. You want to go to Free Stuff? Just go to Free Stuff, and you'll see the Bud Dickman YouTube channel and everything.
All right, also, thanks to everyone that was involved in our two-hour chat yesterday, last night. What a blast. What a blast and a half. Thank you. God bless you. May you all live long and fruitful lives. Woo! All right, let's talk to our good man here, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay is out and about today, and as I imagine he always is on Saturdays. Jay, a good afternoon to you. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk a little bit here about internet anonymity. And as a guy that, especially the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we can all agree to disagree that, you know, let's just say that you're a law enforcement agency.
You know, so if you all say let's agree or disagree, I think people are going to think that I'm a lying, you know, SOB. And
no, you're not a lying. You're in law enforcement, but you're not duly authorized by the state.
Well, again, I mean that's a matter of opinion. That's a matter of opinion.
Phil, I don't mean to interrupt you. Is this the same man, Bud, that was on last week that was showing Orson Welles' Othello? Because he's a real moron. This guy here should be put in cement and thrown into a river. And,
Margaret, would you forget about this guy?
Oh, I'm very, very sorry, Jay.
That's all right. What I'm going to say to you, Phil, is this. We're duly authorized by, we feel, the Constitution of the United States.
All right, let's leave it at that. Now, internet anonymity. I made this point on Twitter. I said that the anonymity of the internet has allowed people to expect has made people think there's no action, there's no consequences.
What are you trying to say?
I'll say it again. Internet anonymity has led people to believe that actions have no consequences. If you're anonymous on the internet, you can say anything you want to say. You can pretty much do anything you want to do, and no one knows that it's you who did it. And so, therefore, whatever negative repercussion would come in life, or positive, for that matter, you are not the beneficiary of. You are not the recipient of. And that's not life. Life is, does represent actions with consequences.
Well, you know, Phil, I know that a lot of what you're talking about is something you believe in. I know you and I have had very long discussions over late night cocktails about Buddhism and a karma, you know?
Well, yes, but I
you've had long discussions over late night cocktails with Santos?
We've had discussions.
Right, we've had, what, are you all jealous or something?
No, not at all. Jealous? Christ, I'd rather be sitting at home watching this fruit that Margaret's talking about, introducing Othello by this guy Orson Wack, or whatever, or Orson Bean, and
Orson Welles.
All right, I'd rather be doing that than sitting down talking to you, Santos, about anything.
Well, General, you know that's your loss.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
All right, so it's his loss. So having said that, yes, if you want to say that that's it, that's my belief in karma, it certainly is. But that is life.
All right, Phil, if that is life, then there's nothing to worry about. There's always going to be consequences for the actions, okay? Unless, of course, you think you're God. Because you said to me, before we go on air, you said, well, you know, I'm going to make it my business to find out about people who say stuff.
You know what? We have in the course of our business, people that have thought they were anonymous and decided to act in ways that were illegal or destructive or hurtful, yes, we made it our business to find out who they were. We had to. Okay? I think it's the duty of any American citizen to find out who people are when they want to make these cruel and you know, look, it's not against the law to have an opinion, but it's also not against the law to not want to do business with someone or not associate with someone or not hire someone who has certain views. Now, that's just a fact. I mean, that happens all the time.
So you're trying to tell me if I wanted to go and get a job, let's say at McDonald's, okay, Mr. Henry?
Yes.
Well, what's... God, man.
Well, okay, Mr. Henry, yes, I hear you.
All right, let's say I wanted to go, you know...
I was telling you, I didn't want to get a job at McDonald's.
I know.
Okay, I'm sorry. I hear you. You don't. Do I have to keep reinforcing that I'm hearing people?
Yeah, well, a lot of times you should, because we're on the phone. We don't know whether you care or not.
Yeah, it's very difficult to determine, Phil, whether you really care.
Okay, I really care, Jay.
All right, well, thank you.
It's all right, Jay. Go ahead.
Thank you. You know, you want people to... you know, have opinions. All right, let's talk about what you said. If I got an opinion, let's say I have an opinion that I think abortion is bad, okay, and is against God. But I'm also a doctor. I'm a doctor, and I do perform abortion. Are you going to go and tell everybody that I don't believe in abortion?
If you're doing your job, no. If you're doing your job, not at all. If there's nothing that attracts anybody's attention to, you know, what you're doing, if you're not harming any woman, if you're not harming, you know, if you think abortion is bad, but you're performing abortions, and you're doing it to the best of your ability as a doctor, I wouldn't.
Well, I don't know. I think I would have to let someone know that this is a man who may Because of his beliefs, he may botch one of these procedures that could cause grave harm.
That doesn't make any sense. If a guy thinks abortion is bad, why is he going to want to harm a lady? See, that's the whole thing there. So I think that, we can be a reasonable people kind of argue about it. But I think that I agree with Phil, you know.
But let's say someone's a racist. Someone is an absolute racist. And they're on Twitter all the time talking about how much they hate black people, let's say. And then you find out that they've got a job working with the public. And maybe they work as a, I don't know, let's say they work as a cashier someplace. Or maybe they work as a, they're working with the public. Now, when you have a license to deal with the public, you're supposed to deal with the public in a non-prejudicial manner. That's a part of the Civil Rights Act of 65. It's also been interpreted as such by the Constitution. If that person hates black people or hates Mexicans or hates Jews or whatever, but they're doing their job in the public sector professionally and they're doing it well and there's no complaints and things are going along swimmingly, I don't know that I necessarily have to make life worse for that person by saying, hey, here's what they believe, you know?
Well, see, again, I would disagree.
Yeah, I would have to. I would have to agree with Mr. Henry, even though I want to disagree with Mr. Henry. I got to agree with Mr. Henry because I do believe in internet anonymity. And
anonymity.
Anonymity. I do believe in anonymity, but I really want to. I really want to disagree with Mr. Henry.
Well, then, what do you believe, man? Do you believe in?
Can I just say? I said I disagree, and let me say why.
Go ahead.
Go on, Margaret.
I think that even if that person is doing their job professionally, but they have these odious ideas and they have these odious opinions, I think I'd like to know about it because I don't know at what point that individual may embarrass my company. They may embarrass the business that they're working for. We may have a situation arise that we could have prevented by knowing what that person's attitudes were. What if that person all of a sudden gets into some kind of a physical altercation with someone? And then someone says, well, you knew that they were racist, didn't you? And you say, well, no, I didn't. You see?
I see that point.
Now you're waffling. I agree with Margaret, but I got to agree with Mr. Harry. And
what that supposed to mean?
It means that I believe that that person should be anonymous and should have their opinions kept secret. But I also agree with Ms. Gray that it could, just wipe everything out. Just wipe everything out.
What do you mean, wipe everything out? You're talking about how it would destroy a business?
Yeah, it could destroy a business. If you got a guy who's working as a cashier, but he's on Twitter and he's talking about how much he hates all the Jews and he hates all Mexicans, and then he never, you don't let anybody know that that's him, and he's all anonymous about it, and then the next thing you know, the guy gets into an altercation with, like, a Mexican. And someone says, didn't you know about it? Because the guy's on Twitter. And you're going to go, well, yeah, I did, but I didn't think it was anybody's business.
All right, so do you believe that that guy should be anonymous?
Yes, I do, because that's what I officially believe as a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police. But now I sort of agree with Ms. Gray.
All right, so in other words, you don't really believe in internet anonymity.
No, I very much do. But I agree with you one-on-one. I'm talking about my business. My official position for my business is I do not agree. I do agree with internet anonymity. That's my official, but my personal opinion is, no, I do not.
Well.
What?
You know something, Santos? We could have just saved ourselves about 20 minutes and not even had you on the show today.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about this. What you just said makes about as much sense as the rest of everything that you say. First of all, you got an official opinion, then you got a private. What do you believe?
I believe the Citizens Auxiliary Police believes.
No, forget about the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Do you think that a guy should be kept anonymous on the internet who's a rabid, raving, racist piece of garbage if he's doing his job well and nobody knows it in the public?
Yes, I do. But
what about the fact...
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what about the fact that there might be a fight?
Yes, there might be an altercation. This person's beliefs may come to the fore at some point.
May come to the floor?
To the fore.
To the floor.
No, to the fore.
To the fore, meaning to the foreground.
What?
All right, Jay. A nice bit of waffling.
Yeah, you never take no opinion on nothing, Mr. Santos. You're stupid.
Oh, I'm stupid. If that isn't the cat calling the dog black, or let me put it...
The cat calling the dog?
I mean, a kettle calling the pot black. Or if you want, if that isn't the Black Panther calling the end... Well, it probably doesn't... doesn't work that way. But
all right, Jay, I think that you have done us a great service because you've shown me exactly what the confusion is among a lot of people. Do you allow someone to be anonymous, to remain anonymous online, even though they have these very, very odious points of view that would stand in stark?
Yes. Come on, Henry, let's go.
Gotta end the show.
Oh, we have to end the show. Well, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
What is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get into it next week. We're going to take a hike, take a powder. We're going to get out of here.
Well, Phil, don't be all hurt.
I'm just telling you that I think that this stands as the philosophy here, man. A guy's got these rotten opinions. I got a company. I got a guy that works for me who has these rotten opinions, and he's out there on the internet talking about it, but he's doing his job. I forget it.
Yeah, thank you. There you go. Forget it. That's about the
world famous Phil Henry Show and his PSP only show has been brought to you by the Phil Henry online store. I had to think of something because it's
The Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
Thinking it would ease the pain. I'm a crazy man.
Well, if you'd have told me, I didn't have time to prepare, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Does she really love me? I think she does.
What the hell is this? Is this some kind of folk music or something?
Me, I know because the sky is bright. Everything's alright. Are clearing, and I think we're over the storm. Well, I've been picking it up around me. Lazy, I think I'm sane. Well, I'm awful glad, and I guess you're really to blame.